The epistle is taken from St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as becomes saints, or obscenity or foolish talk or scurrility, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. And some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils. And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan is also divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, then he will take away all his weapons that he relied on and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass that while he was saying these things, a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore thee, and blessed the breast that nursed thee. But he said, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Last century, or actually 2 centuries ago, I guess now, in the 1800s, St. John Bosco was one of the greatest saints in the history of the Church. He founded the Order of the Salesians. He had a great devotion to children. He founded many schools, the Oratory, as they were called, for children who were poor or disadvantaged. If you remember, at that time there was no social safety net, and so he was able to give these children an education. And he was well known for his dreams, prophetic dreams, oftentimes about the boys. One of his lesser known dreams is the dream of the handkerchiefs. So he had a dream in which the boys of the oratory of his school were at this palace, this beautiful palace in the countryside, and they were out on the courtyard or the plaza out in front of the palace or behind the palace. And there was a beautiful lady there, and she was giving each boy a handkerchief. And the handkerchief was beautifully embroidered with gold, and on it it said, Queen of the Virtues. And after each boy received his handkerchief, the lady then instructed them and said, at the first sign of the wind blowing, fold up your handkerchief and put it in your pocket. But if the wind catches you by surprise, turn away from the wind and protect your handkerchief and pray. And so all the boys lined up then in front of the palace, and they had their handkerchief in their hand, and at the very beginning of a very slight breeze, some of the boys immediately folded up their handkerchief and put it in their pocket. some of the other boys, the breeze increased and it caught them by surprise. They weren't ready. So they turned and protected their handkerchief and prayed. But other boys didn't. They kept their handkerchief in their hand. The wind increased. And then it increased to a storm with rain and snow and soot. Some of the boys still remained standing there with the handkerchief in the storm. And their handkerchief was getting torn and tattered as they held it there. It was flapping in the breeze. And he didn't understand, why didn't they protect their handkerchief? It was being destroyed and ruined. Eventually the storm subsided. And he asked the lady, what does it symbolize? And there was actually a few men next to her, he said. And one of the men answered and said, the handkerchief represents purity, the queen of the virtues. Everyone receives purity equally. The wind, the snow, and the rain are the temptations against purity. Those boys who folded up their handkerchief at the first sign of the wind are those who flee every temptation against purity. Those who are taken by surprise are those who get a temptation against purity. They're not able to flee, but then it's taken them by surprise, and then they turn away from it. Turn their back to the temptation and the devil and pray to protect their purity. And of course, those who don't protect their purity are those who fall into the sins of impurity. And St. John asks, why is it that the handkerchiefs get tattered just with a single snowflake or a single raindrop? And the man said, do you not know that every sin against purity is grave? There is no smallness of matter. That is, if done with full knowledge and full consent, it is a mortal sin. Everyone. And then the man asked St. John to look at the boys' handkerchiefs who exposed them to the elements. And some of them were torn and tattered, full of holes, ruined. But others of them, the handkerchiefs were patched. They were gray, they had lost their beauty, but they were still whole. The holes had been patched, they were misshapen and gray. And the man said, these are the boys who went to confession. Those whose handkerchief is still tattered and torn are those boys who are in danger of going to hell. In today's epistle, St. Paul warns us. He says, immorality and every uncleanness, that is, every sin against purity, against chastity, and I should say, purity and chastity are the same thing. Every immorality and uncleanness or covetousness, let it be named among you as becomes saints. Then he says, know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. In our society today, in our world today, there are many temptations against purity, and they are far, far more common and more open in our society than they ever were in St. John Bosco's time. The storm, as we could say, has turned into probably a hurricane. And yet, the remedy is still the same. At the first sign of an impure temptation, we must flee the temptation. The spiritual authors say that when struggling with temptations against purity, the person that flees the field of battle is the victor. In other temptations, we have to stand firm and fight the temptation face on, like sloth. You can't flee, you have to fight it straight on. But for temptations against purity, you flee. You push it away as soon as possible. If you are caught by surprise, you again turn your back and pray. How many times you might be watching a television show or a movie and think that it's good, and yet they get you. There's a little scene in there. You turn away. And if it's extended, then turn it off, of course. Or driving down the highway and you round a corner and there's a billboard there, an impure billboard, an immodest, maybe we should say, billboard that can lead to temptation. You look away. This is called custody of the eyes, to have power over your eyes, to look away. Sometimes it's difficult to achieve this. St. Joseph is a good patron for this. On the internet, it's difficult to even get on a news site now without the ads, especially at the bottom of the page. Sometimes they're terrible. We have to be vigilant and be aware of these. How easy it is to slide into sins of impurity with true images that will show things that are usually done in private. Not usually, but that are done in private. The church's definition of pornography is to show and display those things that are done in private to a third party. When we really think about that, some PG-13 movies will fall into this category. But these things are all over the internet. And it is not just, you know, oftentimes we think these sins are a problem just for men. These days, it is both men and women. This is a real problem in our day. And yet, the solution is the same. Turn from them. Avert your eyes. Shut them off. And if you fall, go to confession. Those boys, after confession, their handkerchief wasn't restored to the beauty that it was. And that's because that after we commit a sin, we have what's called concupiscence. That even though we are forgiven of that sin, we are not restored to the same state. Concupiscence is something that comes from sin and leads to sin, but it is not sin itself. When we commit a sin, something changes. That we have a desire for that sin again. It's not a habit. It's not a habit yet. Sometimes people think concupiscence, Father, that's a habit. No, a habit is something that, a bad habit, you know, you fall into this vice over and over again, and then it becomes habitual. Concupiscence only requires one sin. And then you have that desire to go back to it. It's not a habit yet, psychologically. The concupiscence leads to a habit, leads to an addiction, but it's not the addiction itself. So this is why the handkerchief hasn't been restored to its previous beauty. And it's the same here, that when we go to confession, we still have to struggle with that. It's then easier to it's harder to flee from the sins. But we have to remember that what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that in every temptation, God gives us an out. Now, sometimes it's easier for us to find that out when we preserve ourselves and aren't suffering from concupiscence. But even if we do, He still gives us that temptation, or He still gives us that ability to avoid that temptation. We have to remember this, because sometimes when people slide into this bad habit, they think, oh, they give up. They think, oh, maybe next month, or maybe next year. No, today. Today. God knows what each one of us is capable of doing, and He will never let us be tempted beyond our ability to say no. Now, as we struggle against this, we build up the strength of soul against sins in general, and especially this sin of impurity. People who have fallen into the vice of impurity, we build up our strength of soul against it to say no. And there are many things that we can do to try to lessen that temptation. I've talked about them in the past. You deny yourself a legitimate good, a legitimate pleasure, because it's a pleasure of the body. You deny yourself some legitimate pleasure like food or comfort, something like that, in order to strengthen your will against your body, so when your body then asks for this illegitimate pleasure, you have the strength to say no. But ultimately, barring any extraordinary grace, God may lessen the temptation through grace, but barring an extraordinary grace, he still wants us to say the no. To say no. Why? Because he wants us to join him in his victory on the cross. He wants us to say the no. So even doing these penances or other prayers, just prayer in general. I've talked about the rosary. I've always talked about the rosary. It's a powerful remedy against any sin. And against this especially, the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy. I've talked about the Auxilium Christianorum prayers, which push back the devil, because the devil will also be tempting the person who suffers with this vice. Another remedy is this thing here. This is a Sacred Heart badge. You see these little felt things of the Sacred Heart. Nobody knows what these are. They think they're scapulars. They're not scapulars. It's called a Sacred Heart badge. And it comes from St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who was our Lord revealed the devotion to the Sacred Heart. He says, anyone who wears an image of the Sacred Heart, he will remove from them disordered motions. What he's talking about that is that the addiction or even the inordinate desire for this impurity, he will root out. Now, it means anything, but some people have found these as a powerful remedy, powerful strength and help against impurity. You're supposed to wear it. You pin it to your scapular, or pin it to your t-shirt. And as I said, some people have found these this sacramental to give them a greater strength. They still have to say no. No. God wants us to have the victory. We are drowning in our society in impurity. There are temptations everywhere. Everywhere. On billboards, on the internet, we become so, I think, surrounded by it that we become used to it. But we have to fight and say no. God wants us to resist this. We have to say no. The remedy is the same as it was for St. John Bosco's time. To turn away and flee temptation. If it catches you by surprise, you pray and you turn your back to it. If you commit the sin, then you go to confession. Other remedies to help fight the concupiscence that arises from it. A prayer, a penance, Sacred Heart badge, or any other type of sacramental. God will never let us be tempted more than we can resist. As it says, where sin abounds, grace more abounds. Even though this sin is far more common today, and this temptation, God knows that, and he gives more grace for us to resist it and say no. So, in this day, let us then pray against temptations. Let's first of all pray for our society that it becomes a society that recognizes this, but then also for our own personal trials and temptations, and also for those other people in society who are tried by this. As St. Paul says, let impurity and fornication have no place among you. So let us turn from these temptations and be true children of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.